we're going out of here knowing who we are and whose we are. And so, you know, you kind of look around at the body of Christ in the churches and what's happening, you know, in our nation today. And it looks pretty far from a bride that's making herself ready. But God's working. I think that coming together in unity, realizing the power that's within us, that resonates within us because of the Lord Jesus Christ within us, that God is looking to us. You know, we sang the song today, and I love that. Let your glory and your power and your majesty and your worthiness, you know, let it flood the earth. But do you know how that floods the earth? Through us. That's the only way. It's through us. It's through us. And so it's a time for God's people to rise up and really realize, you know, the mandate that God has given us and that he trusts us. You know, he trusts us. You know, he knows that we've got the goods because we are born again. We've been given his name. We've been given everything that we need. He's completed the work that he needed to do. He's given us everything that he needs to do. He's given us his Holy Spirit, right? And so we just got to start believing who we are and doing what he's called us to do. Father God, we thank you that we are one nation under God. Can we say that? Father, we thank you that we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lord, we declare America shall be saved. That's what Dutch Sheets is proclaiming. What is that? IGAP, that America shall be saved. There's a lot hinging on America, all right? So, you know, we've heard different things that as certain states go, so goes, you know, the nation. Okay, but as this nation goes, so goes other nations. We know that we are a key that to for Israel, that as we bless Israel, as we stand for Israel, that things can take place and happen in Israel, you know, that thing that needs to happen. We must never turn our back on Israel. We must never stop aligning ourselves with Israel. And we must always be that people that stands in the gap for Israel and prays for the peace of Jerusalem. Because if it goes bad for Israel, it'll go bad for this nation. And one of the reasons that it's going so great for this nation now is because of what happened in Israel with the embassy being moved, you know, with how the president and those in office now have, you know, empowered Israel to be able to do what it's already supposed to do, what he already has been told that they, you know, who they are. You know, God's already given the boundaries and the lines and so forth. So, you know, really, if you can't come out tonight, then pray, please. And, you know, we need to be in a prayerful time, you know, with what's going on, with what God's doing. So, you know, we've been talking this morning, you know, Becca talked, you know, was thanking the Lord this morning. You know, Jeremy giving thanks this morning. And that's what I want to talk to you about. We know that Thanksgiving is just, you know, weeks away, you know, actually a few days away. It's not weeks. It's, what, a week and a half away. And, you know, at the time of, we have Thanksgiving and then we have Christmas. And at this time, it can be a great time for a lot of people. But for a lot of people, it is not a great time. It is a very difficult time. It reminds us of those that have gone on to be with the Lord and that they're not with us. It's a time of increased stress, increased tension. If you're already having, you know, financial problems, it puts a greater burden on that. If you're already having marital problems, it puts a greater burden on that. It can be a time of great anxiety. It can be a time of great depression for a lot of people. You know, my background is nursing. I worked in nursing for 30 years. And always when it would get, you know, October, first part of November, we would start getting the histories and physicals back from the hospital and of so many people trying to commit suicide and unfortunately some who had committed suicide. And, you know, I believe the remedy, you know, that God has for us as a people with what's happening. We're living in a time in this world where there's a lot of destitute people. There's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of mixed up people. You know, God is the answer, right? He doesn't have the answer. He is the answer. And, you know, God says to give thanks. You know, he says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So it's God's will. And we can look at that and we say, yeah, we know that. We know that. But I believe, you know, when I asked God, you know, what he wanted to minister about, he gave me, you know, what he wanted, you know, and it's being thankful, and I'm going to give you the scripture from that in a minute. But we think, well, we do know that, right? We do know that. But he when he's talking about that, he's giving that to his church. He's telling his church. He's telling his people. Because for those who belong to Christ Jesus, no matter what happens, be thankful. There's a lot of things that are happening that are not good. There's a lot of things that are going on around the world. You know, we've got governments that are hanging in the balance because they cannot form their governmental power. What's going on in Europe? What's going on in Israel? What's going on in this nation? We've got such extremists that are over here, and they're dividing the nation. So we don't have a majority of those who stand for righteousness and justice because we've got so many of the extremists out here on the fringe, and a lot of people are going to the far left instead of the right way to go. That's what's happening in the other nations. It's going on. And Ursula, I was reading an article, and it was talking about that when Hitler came in power. One of the reasons that he was able to get in power because they had no unification in the nations around the world, that they had this far extremist left going on in different nations, and they could not hold the majority in place. There was such, you know, factions and schisms and divisions. Does that sound anything like what we got going on now? That was happening, that by the time, you know, he came round, that everything was fractured, and people could not come together with a majority. So by the time he came around, they had one way to vote, and it was for him if you were going to vote. Basically, everything else was ruled out. And so we're living in this time where God is saying, wake up, people, because you've got a job to do, and I'm looking to you to do it. And that he has qualified us, and he is saying no matter what happens, he's giving us steps here with what's taking place and what's going to happen. No matter how scary it may seem, no, how fearful it may seem, no, how bad it looks, no matter how much things hurt and get tough, because things are going to get tougher, okay? A lot of the freedoms and things that we've already known have been taken away. There's things that are going on with our law and our government in this nation, in the police system, in the jail system, where freedoms are being eroded. There's innocent people that are being, you know, put in places they should have never been put in. Laws being passed where, you know, what they should have gotten maybe a fine for that they're going to jail for, and you know, long-term prison. And those that should be there are getting released, and things very lenient done with them. Evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. And God says, you come overcome evil by what? By doing good. That he needs his people to be a thankful people. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I'm going to go back with that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. I left out with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving has to be there. So many times we come to God and we petition the Lord with the issues, with the problems, with the circumstances. We forget to be thankful. And I'm not talking about lip service. I'm talking about a heart. I'm talking about a heart for him, a true heart of thanksgiving. We're in the decade of pay, or the decade of the mouth. So we want to make sure that our mouth is aligning with what God is saying. And he is saying, you must be a thankful people in these times of shaking, in these times of greater darkness. You must be a thankful people. Thank you, Lord. You know, God says, I'm going to read the rest of that scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're the peace carriers of God. So in this shaking and all these things that are taking place, there's got to be a peace of God that people see. And the only way it's going to happen is by staying with the heart of thanksgiving. It says that the peace of God guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. If the thanksgiving is not there, okay, then our hearts are not guarded properly, and we can't have the peace of God. And we know that the world has a great substitute for peace. Take this, have this, you know, enjoy this. Numb out yourself with the TV programs. Numb out yourself with, you know, Facebook or the computer. Just numb out yourself, and there you can go. That's not peace. Do you know that we have to fight to have peace? Do you understand that? That peace is not a word that I just go and I sit. Peace is something that you have to struggle to have and maintain. And God is saying a key to that, to stay in that place of peace with him, is to be a thankful people, to give thanks to him, to give honor to him. The first time that thanksgiving is mentioned is in Leviticus, and it's talking about the peace offering, to give a thanksgiving offering for the peace offering. So that is this, excuse me, to give a thanksgiving sacrifice for the peace offering. So peace and thanksgiving go all the way back to the beginning and follow all the way through. That if you want peace in your heart, okay, you have to be a thankful person and giving God thanks. If you feel that you're losing your peace, what does that mean? I'm not thanking God. I need to be thanking God, okay? I need to be thanking him. Thank you, Lord. So when I'm walking in peace, you know, it says that it's interesting, Terry, you would find this interesting. I did, because thanks, that word for thanks is yada, A-Y-A-D-A-H, okay? And, you know, that means to hold out your hand in, you know, reverence or in worship. It means to extend your hands out to him. So it's more than what you say, it's what you do, to live a life of thanksgiving, okay? We're to be a people of thanksgiving, to live a life of thanksgiving. It's making a confession, it's praise, but it's a lot of times it is a sacrificial, because we don't feel that way when we go through things, when we're hurting, when things didn't turn out the way we thought that they should turn out. But we are still to be a thankful people. And it's interesting, Terry, that the other word for yada is Y-A-D-A. And that word means to know, you know, God, to know him with intimacy. And I thought that's interesting. The one is for thanksgiving, yada, Y-A-D-A-H, and the other yada is Y-A-D-A, okay? And that means to know. But to really know God is to give him thanks. So we can't be a people that know about him, because you're not going to have a heartfelt thanks. You're probably going to be doing lip service. And remember, we're in the mouth of pay, okay? Or the decade of pay, the decade of the mouth. And that God is saying, I do not want the honoring of the lips. I want the heart. You know, he had the issue with the Israelites because they honored him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. God is giving us this message today for a reason. He's trying to get our attention. And so we're going to go on with this. Thank you, Lord. We know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we truly are a thankful people, then that should be coming out, right? We should be constantly giving thanks to God, right? And, you know, a lot of times, you'll give thanks. Like, I'm thankful to God for our worship team. I'm thankful for, their spirit of excellence that they have. And I'm thankful for the love they have of the Lord that radiates through them so that we can come into the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful to God, you know. So we're thankful to God. You know, the other day we had a nurse practitioner come in and check my dad. You know, my dad's been on hospice for over 2 years now, and we are his caregivers. And she was saying, you know, what a good job. My dad's been bedridden for 2 years, okay? And so 2 days a week, a hospice aide and myself bodily lift my dad to a shower chair, to a shower, to the bathroom. Other than that, he's bedridden, and he can't do anything for himself. He has no bed sores. And that they just can't get over that. And we say, well, we know that's the Lord. We know that's God. And they'll say, well, no, that's because of the good care that you're giving him. That's what that's for. You know, and this nurse was saying, you know, you're giving him such good care. You know, that's the reason he's doing so well. That's the reason he's still here. And we, you know, it's like, no, it's God. You know, we know that it's God. So we're not going to take away our thanksgiving to God and put it on us, because God gives us the strength to do what we're doing. There's no way I could bodily lift my dad like I've been doing for the last 2 years. And the hospice aid that helps me 99% of the time is about my size. It's God that gives us the strength. It's God that gives my mom the strength. And so, we want to reiterate, it's God, you know, it's God. And, you know, every time that we have an opportunity, I think that the church has gotten out of the out in public of giving God thanks, because they've been silenced by, you know, that might offend someone in the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever you're at. You know, be open about, oh God, I give you thanks. You know, just in the midst, I giving him glory, giving him honor in the midst of where we're at. We know that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, it says Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. When we magnify God, it diminishes the problems that we have. What seemed so big before, now we see that that is small compared to the magnification. And so as we're thanking God, we're magnifying, we're declaring his goodness, we're declaring his greatness, we're declaring his awesome in that situation. And we stop magnifying the situation, we stop magnifying the problem, we stop magnifying the impossibility of what we're facing, and we give God thanks. And we, by thanking him for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for his mighty acts, for his worthiness, for his majesticness, for, you know, sparking and igniting friends, or whatever you use, Jeremy. I thought that was good today. For all those things, we give God thanks, because we know that everything that good comes from him, right? And, you know, the scripture that talks about, you know, taste and see, you know, it invites you in that, you know, to know his goodness. We thank him for his goodness. He gave us a word a couple of weeks ago about drinking, taking a cup and drinking his goodness in. God asked us to do an activation for that. I shared that with our prophetic team last week. And I don't know how many of you actually did that, took the cup, did what God said to do. Take the cup, see the cup in your hand, and drink of his goodness. But for those of you who did, you know, you were activated by doing what God said. For those of you who didn't follow the prophetic word, you know what? You better listen to the prophetic words if you want to receive, okay? If you want to receive from God, if you want to, you know, get from God what he has for you, then you better put your receivers on and you better activate the word of God. You have to activate this word in our life. God is saying, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Don't let the criticisms, don't let the circumstances, don't let the fears, don't let the things that are going around, don't let the divisions, don't let the hate, don't let all these things get on you. Fear is contagious and it will get on you if you're not careful, okay? But we are of God, and fear has no place in us. We are here to be lights. And so we're radiating Jesus. And so if we're going to radiate Jesus, we have to be a people of thanksgiving unto him. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 105:1, give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his name, his greatness. Let the whole earth know what he has done. Let the whole earth know. Not here in our circle. Okay? I mean, yeah, we should be giving him honor and thanks for sure here. But out there, the world needs to know the goodness of our God, the greatness of our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we are thankful, as we focus on him, our whole perspective changes. And, that old song that we used to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That comes with thanksgiving. And so we're living in a time that our focus is going to have to be on him, so that we're not shaking and quaking like the rest of the world, so that they can see a difference. They can see God's light. And why aren't you upset? Why aren't you worried? Why are you still thriving? Because we're going to be thriving. We're going to be thriving. We're going to be succeeding. We're going to be still going forth and living, you know, the God kind of life. And the only way we can do that is through thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You know, God's word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? If you don't have thanksgiving, you can't have joy. So if you don't have a lot of joy, you know, hey, have I stopped thanking God? Have I stopped being thankful? Have I gotten in kind of the, you know, it's Monday and, you know, the work's ahead and the things that are ahead. You know, this time of year, it's harder. I think because lives are so busy. The busyness of life is robbing us, okay, in a lot of ways because we get caught up in the things of the world. And we need to take a breath and breathe in God. You know, just breathe in the life-giving breath of Him, the goodness of Him. And be thankful and give Him thanks. In the midst of this busy time and busy season, that we remember that we are here and that we can't even take a breath without Him, and we give Him thanks. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And if we look at the Psalms, he wrote most of the Psalms, correct? And throughout the Psalms, he's constantly thanking God and constantly thanking Him, you know, for His goodness and talking about all the things that God had done in his life, right? And he learned that through hardship. And, you know, he would speak to himself, you know, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, I will yet remember God and his goodness and his faithfulness. You know, he was one who was honest with God. He let him know, you know, I am, you know, why are my enemies winning over me? You know, and I'm paraphrasing. Why is this happening? And why did, you know, why was I betrayed? He would, you know, get raw and real with God. But it was okay because he always remembered. He always remembered to come back to God. We know the story of Ziklag when he and his mighty men had gone off to do battle. And so he was out doing the work of the Lord, right? And at the time, and he got sent back because he was not living where he should have lived. He was living where he had to live because he was still on, Saul was still on the attack with him, King Saul. And so he had his mighty men, and they're living in the enemy's territory. They're finding safety in the enemy's territory where they can't even find it and where he should have been. But that's where God allowed him to be at the time, and they were gone, and they were supposed to go out to battle, and actually they were sent back. The Philistines sent him back and said, you know, you're not going to go to battle with us because, you know, we don't know that we can trust you. And so, you're, you know, you go back home and, you know, where you came from, and we're not going to let you fight with us because we don't know we can trust you, which was a great relief to David that he didn't have to go against some of, because they were going against some of God's people, the Israelites. But anyways, when he went back to Ziklag, they were weary, they were tired, okay, and they go back and where they lived had been burned down. And the wives and the children and all the animals had been taken captive, right? And it says they were so weary, you know, from all that, going back to try to go to the battle and then coming back and then finding that they literally wept, okay? So I don't know about you macho men who think it's not okay to weep, but these were mighty men of God, mighty men of valor, and it said they wept until they could weep no more. That's how distraught they were. So they wept and they cried, and remember they wanted to stone David, right? Because they said, you know, it's because we followed you and we did what you wanted us to do that now we're in this situation. And so what did David do? You know, he'd cried too, but what did he do? He strengthened himself in the Lord. How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? By remembering and recounting and you know, reconnecting with the goodness of God, by giving thanks unto him. Start thanking and start listing the things that he has done. We know that Jesus repeatedly gave thanks to his Father. If you look in the New Testament, repeatedly he gave thanks. We give thanks at communion time, right? Because we're remembering what, you know, Jesus did for us, right? We're remembering the blood that he shed for us. We're remembering the price that he paid. It's a time of thanksgiving, but it's not supposed to be the only time. You know, it's supposed to be done with the heart of thanksgiving. But Jesus repeatedly thanked the Father. Before he broke bread, before he did so many things, he thanked the Father. And what else did he do? He made the ways of God known. And that's what I want to talk to you about here now, you know, as I'm going to shift a little bit to the scripture that the Lord gave me. And I've been hearing this echo, you know, as things happen and as things go forth, that the Lord, you know, has shared with me. let me see if I can. It's out of Psalm 107, but I've heard this echoing for a while in my spirit as I hear things and things would happen. And then several weeks ago, we had a ministers' meeting at Vercel's. It was our Thanksgiving time together, the ministers. And before we went in to eat and so forth, and before we started worship, Apostle Leon said, you know, I want us to spend time in prayer and, you know, everybody to come forward, pray in the spirit, and let's just pray for a while. There's a lot going on, and you know, some things were mentioned and so forth. There's just a lot going on. And so as I was praying in the spirit, you know, kind of walking in between the pews, I said, Lord, you know, what's your heart, you know, this morning, what are you saying? And I heard the same thing that I've been hearing echoing in my spirit for a while. And God said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is saying that we need to make his goodness known, his works known, his deeds known. And we do that through a heart of thanksgiving first to him, okay, and then sharing that out in the community, in the sphere of influence that God has given us. I'm going to go to Psalm 107. And that's where you find this scripture four times in Psalm 107. And it starts out, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How do we overcome? How do we overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, right? Isn't it interesting? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then he drops this in, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Are you the redeemed of the Lord? We are the redeemed of the Lord. We're redeemed by the blood, right? We're redeemed by the blood of the Lord, who is redeemed. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, we need to be a thankful person, people for that, but we also need to have that at the forefront of everything that we go about our daily, knowing that we are redeemed, that we were redeemed by his precious blood, that we're the redeemed of the Lord, that he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Okay, so Derek Prince, who is a well-known scholar, he's gone on to be with the Lord, a theologian. He says what that literally means is that you are saying, you are giving testimony to what the blood of the Lamb has done for you, what the word of God has done for you. You are making known his wonderful works, his deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's our testimony is important. And, you know, a testimony that testifies about what God's done in our life should give all glory to God. Our focus should be on giving the testimony. And so we don't want to get hung up on saying too much of the circumstance to where it takes away, you know, and the people have kind of already numbed out before we ever got to the testimony part of the goodness of God, hearing how bad things were, right? We want to make sure that we're giving him all glory and honor and praise. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We're testifying to the goodness of God, to what he has done, to what he is doing. The testimony has the power within it to what? It has the power to produce this where life to where a person, the hearer who hears the testimony, then believes, if God could do that for them, maybe he can do that for me. Maybe he can do that in my situation. We have to share the goodness of God. We have to share the testimony of God. Apostle Ron's been teaching for weeks on being evangelistic. That is as simple as going forth and sharing the testimony of what God has done in your life. Nobody can argue with your testimony. Sharing what God has done and letting the life of that testimony be put out there so that hopefully they would say, okay, you know, maybe there is something to God. Maybe there is something to him. In this scripture, it gives four different times that the scripture repeats, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's a strategy of what God is saying that we have, you know, with him for what's happening and what's taking place in the time to come. I'm going to start with verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their full soul fainted in them. You know, any of you feel like you're in the wilderness at times? You're hungry, you're thirsty. You know, you're just like, okay, I'm just not in a good place, Lord. I'm just not in a good place. So they were literally in the wilderness, okay? They'd been in that wilderness place. But I think that a lot of us get caught in that wilderness at times. And we're hungry and thirsty. And, you know, we're trying to fill ourselves with other things to satisfy. And there's none that can satisfy but the Lord, right? But when they came to the end of themselves, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And so we are, you know, we can cry out to the Lord in our trouble. There's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, we need to do that. And he hears the cry of his people, and he answers the cry of his people. And it says, and he delivered them out of their distresses. So thanks be to God that he delivers me out of my distresses. Any distress that comes my way, he delivers me out of my distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that he may go to a city for a dwelling place. And then it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so when I first started hearing that, I would say, Lord, you know, I give you thanks for what you've done in my life. I give you thanks for what you've done in my son's life, in my husband's life. I give you thanks for what you're doing, you know, in your people's lives all over. You know, God is, you know, really emphasizing this in this time. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We got to make his works known. We got to make the goodness of him known. Outside these four walls, outside where we're just, you know, comfortable with sharing. It has to get out there, okay? You know, in Hosea it says, because they had no knowledge of me, they were led into captivity. Is there a knowledge of God? I'm not talking about a knowledge about knowing about him. I'm talking about that yada, the intimacy. There's that is lacking. That has to come through us. That has to come through us. Our lifestyle should show it. It should be in our speech. It needs to be in our heart. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. You know, we've got so many hurting people. Who satisfies? I can't, but he can. And he works through me, right? And so he wants to get out of us, okay? He wants to get out of us through what we say, through what we do. And he wants us to share the goodness of him, the heart of him. You know, we're living in the time of the greater glory. We're living in the time of the greater works of him. And he wants himself known. We're living in the time of the signs, wonders, and miracles. And he wants to do those. He wants to demonstrate his goodness. He wants to demonstrate his greatness. He wants to demonstrate his mighty works through you. Out there. In here, but out there. So we got to know and give him thanks. We got to know that we know that we know and be a thankful people. Yes. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God. We've rebelled against the word of God many times, haven't we? We have a nation that's rebelled against the word of God, where the word of God is not honored, where the trembling of God is not even, of the word of God is not even in the church, where the word of God has been, you know, maligned, and it's okay to share this, but it's not okay to share that because I'm afraid I might offend somebody. Therefore, I will not bring and present the whole counsel of God. And so we have things happening and taking place, and it's never mentioned in the church. If you can't preach the whole counsel of God, can you preach the remedy? No, you can't. Because you've left him out. You were afraid you would offend someone, and what you did was you just allowed him to get deeper and deeper into the situation that the enemy was pulling them into. And yeah, we do it with love. We do it with love, but sometimes our, you know, love can be hard, and sometimes love can be harsh. And my love first place, my love first place is for God and for his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. They rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. We've got to have a whole harvest of people that are crying out to the Lord because they've been in this place of rebellion. They've been in this place of wilderness. It's us in the church, but it's them out there as well. And they are going to cry out to God. And we've got to be ready to share and to give thanks for the goodness of God and share the goodness of God and of him. And it's got to be more than a head knowledge. It's got to be a heart knowledge. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. We got to let them know that he's their answer. You know, he's the answer. He is the answer for what they're looking for. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, it says they cried out to him, but it never says that they themselves came back and gave thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his mighty works among the children of men. It never says that. It's his word telling us, oh, that men would give thanks. That they would give thanks unto me for my mighty works among the children of men. You know, as we are a people that speaks, he's given us the power to speak. He spoke and things were created. We speak and things are created. So we speak the goodness. We speak about the greatness. We speak about the deeds of the Lord. Remember what he told the Israelites, you know, make sure that you tell and you proclaim to the generations from generations the goodness of me, what I've done. And that has fallen by the wayside. We live in a place today where lives are so busy and people that once went to church aren't going to church. Their children aren't learning about the goodness of God. They're learning it in schools and in colleges. And it's, you know, a name that's not allowed to be spoken openly anymore or praised, or that all paths lead to God. It says, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. That is what he's wanting to do in this nation. That comes strictly from Isaiah 45. And that's one of the things that he says that he is using Cyrus for, is to break the bars of iron and to break open the gates of bronze. That is something that he is doing in this hour, in this day. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. This describes the people that are all around us. They're sore abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Who are carriers of his word? We are, and delivered from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his words with rejoicing. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. Declare his works with rejoicing. Then he starts talking about the physical and natural storms that took place during the time. It says that because of the storm, their soul melted within them. They staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. And we've got storms of life that leave you feeling like you can't go on, like you can't function at time. We have people that are not doing well. They're medicating, and they're living in a place of destitution and living on the streets and in all kinds of depravity. They're at their wits' end. It says, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. In this time, you know, I hope you understand, you know, what I'm trying to stress here, because it seems like, okay, we already know this, but God's giving this for a reason. And I do not believe that we as a people are giving him the thanks to his name, that we're not making his works known. We're not making his deeds known. There's a whole group of people who have no knowledge of the goodness of him, of the greatness of him, of the faithfulness of him, of the healing, delivering, saving power of him, of the power of his name, of the power of his blood, of how much he loves them. We got to make his works known. Give thanks unto God. Give thanks unto God and make his works known. That's the key. The thanks has to come first. It has to be a heartfelt thanks so then that God can use us to make his mighty works known. We have to be a thankful people in these days as never before, as things are getting harder, that we are the people that are going to, you know, make him known. Some of the people, right? You know, there's a movement that started a couple years ago. I heard about this last week. I read an article, and it's a movement of Thank You, Jesus. Have any of you heard of that? And it started a couple years ago, and it started with a teenager who really, at Easter time, really wanted to do something for the Lord and, you know, somehow to make, you know, the goodness of God known. And so he prayed to God, and he said, Lord, let the impact of it be far-reaching. And so at the same time, a woman in his church had the same prayer that she wanted to do something for Easter. And the two hooked up, and what God gave the woman was to do signs, just simple signs. They're just yellow signs or yellow bracelets or yellow magnets that says, Thank You, Jesus. That started a couple years ago. So now she had to form a 501c3. Because of people wanting to put the signs in their yard or wear the thank you, Jesus. They've got all kinds of testimonies of just seeing the sign, thank you, Jesus, of what it did in their life. A woman had bought a sign and put it in her daughter's and her son-in-law's yard. And he got up in the middle of the night, was on his way to commit suicide, tripped over the sign, thank you, Jesus. It saved his life. The power of doing what God says to do. The power of a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord. Over 1 million of these things have been bought. You know, it's like I'm going to go on Amazon because you can order them and get me a sign and put it in my yard. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the other thing I wanted to talk about just briefly here, I know we're going over here a little bit. I appreciate your patience, you know, with this, is that we know that we're in the time of the holidays again, and holidays can be a very difficult time for people. And, you know, God tells us that it's anxiety in the heart of men that causes depression. And anxiety is heaviness of heart. It's fear, okay? But it says, but a good word makes it glad. A good word. We can encourage ourselves with a good word by giving thanks to God, by remembering what he's already done in our life. We can encourage ourselves when anxiety tries to come in and rob us. So we can be used to, you know, bring ourselves out of that, to bring a sister or brother in the Lord, but also out in the world, to bring a word of encouragement, you know, to give thanks and make God known. In the King James Version, it says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The Passion Translation says, anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. A life-giving word. That life-giving word has to come from a heart of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 94:19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight in my soul. The soothing comfort of your presence calm me down and overwhelmed me with delight. Your consolations delight my soul. Thanksgiving unto yourself. Don't get caught up in the anxieties. Don't get caught up in the depression. Don't get caught up in those things and become overwhelmed by the circumstances and things. Speak to yourself. Encourage yourself. You start off with giving God thanks for what he's already done. You strengthen yourself in the Lord. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I thank you, Lord. I give you this. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are the God of the impossible. And even though the situation seems so hard, and even though it really hurts, and even though I'm really struggling here, Father, I thank you that you are good and that you are faithful. I thank you that you are the deliverer in this situation. I thank you that you are the healer in this situation. I thank you that you've got this. We've got to know this. We've got to get this in our heart, because how can we go forth and bring the deliverer to someone else if we're not really sure that he is the deliverer, if we're not really sure that he is the healer? If we believe it in our head, but we don't believe it in our heart, it comes with starting with thanksgiving, that we start declaring and reminding and reviewing the things that he's done in our life, bringing the scriptures forward that talk about the goodness and the greatness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's the song that we sing with my hands lifted up and my mouth with praise. My mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you, O Lord. We bless the Lord when we give thanksgiving unto him. We bless the Lord when we're making his mighty works known among the people of men. Give thanks unto the Lord and make his mighty works known unto the people of men. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think that is all that I'm going to share with you. I think we've gone far enough. I think you've got it. I said there's a reason. You know, it seems like a simple word, but God's word is a simple word. We make it hard. If we would just follow it and do what it says, we wouldn't find ourselves in a place of anxiety. We wouldn't find ourselves in a place of stressing out. We got to go remember to give thanks. Each and every day, to breathe his breath of life in, to give him thanks. Father, I thank you for another day. I thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made and I can rejoice in it. I thank you, Father God, that you go before me today. I thank you that you make a way where there's not been a way before in my situation. I thank you, Lord, that you're making rivers in the desert in that situation that has been hopeless all these years. But now, Lord, my hope is renewed because I am remembering to thank you for what you've done and what you do, that you're making a way in each of our lives today, Lord. We thank you for this church family. We thank you, Father God, for Apostle Ron and Prophetess Belinda, Lord God. We are thankful for them, Lord God. We're thankful for their steadfastness with you, for their faithfulness with you. We thank you for their love that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for the mighty signs, wonders, and miracles that, Father God, they're going to be wrought in this house, but also wrought through our hands out into a hurting world, Lord God, that we have been given the opportunity to take you, the healer, the deliverer, the savior, Lord God, that we get to, we don't have to, but we get to, that you've entrusted us with your word to make known your mighty works, Lord God, your wonderful works among the children of men. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. We are a thankful people, Lord. And Father God, if there's anything that's hindered our thankfulness, if there's bitterness or unforgiveness that's gotten in our heart that has kept us not being able to be that thankful people, Lord God, then I pray, Father God, that you would make it known to us, Lord. We don't want any hardness of heart, Lord God, that where we've got weary, Lord God, in giving you thanks, Lord God, or that we're just doing it by lip service, Lord. We want it to be a heart of thanksgiving unto you. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. If anybody needs prayer before you leave, please make sure you come. I've got the petitions again for the heartbeat bill. If any one of you would like to sign those. And so I just want to share, you know, if you signed the right to life petitions, you can sign these as well. With new technology, the heartbeat can be detected as early as 6 weeks. And if they hear a heartbeat, an abortion cannot be done. A lot of the abortions are not even done to the second trimester. This would catch them early on. And also, that would prosecute those if the heartbeat was heard and they did went ahead and did an abortion or didn't make it known to the woman that the heartbeat was heard. then they would face felony charges and be prosecuted. Not the person, the doctor, would do that. So it would hopefully stop, you know, between the heartbeat bill and the right to life, both of them together, that somehow, some way, for the state of Michigan, that we can get Roe versus Wade reversed and that all abortion can be stopped. But these are two things that we can do as people, if you know, as voters, to make this and get this known in our state, that will not stand for abortion to continue in our state and hopefully in our nation someday. Bless you. Thank you. For those that are staying after, you want to give instructions, Jeremy, or just tell them to meet downstairs?
I think Becca's already ordered the food, so it'll be, it won't be very much longer. But we're going to hang out up here, and I'll bring the tools, and we'll start getting stuff torn up. So thanks for those that are staying. Oh, and don't forget, no service tonight. Service has been moved to Elkhart, to the River of Life Church.